Hey guys, Dan and Moxie here. Just a quick word to say we're keeping all of these old UTS podcast episodes available to you, still free of charge, on all of our platforms. But be aware, now that we're independent, we are no longer the official podcast of Cheltenham Saracens Rugby Club.
Also, all of our social media platforms will remain the same, but our SoundCloud page has a brand new address. You can find that at soundcloud.com/theUTS podcast.
You're listening to UTS, the official podcast of Cheltenham Saracens RFC.
We're walking along, we're singing a song, we're walking in the Saris Wonderland.
All right, come on in, sit yourselves down, make yourself at home and get yourself comfortable. You are, of course, listening to the UTS podcast. As is the case with every single show, my name is Dan Lodge. Once again, not joined by Mark Moxie Collier at this time, but he will feature a little later on in the show. And I'm coming to you live, almost, once again from my spare room pillow fort. And I'm thinking maybe I should make pillow forts more often because I am super comfortable. I'm keeping the outside world out. I've got all my favourite snacks around me. Life is pretty good right now. But before we jump into it, while we are the official Cheltenham Saracens podcast, we are completely independent and we receive no financial backing at all from the club. This is an amateur podcast produced entirely by volunteers and we give you this show absolutely free on the first Friday of every single month on utspodcast.com, soundcloud.com/CheltenhamSaracensRFC, iTunes or even Player FM. Now, if you're a regular listener and you enjoy what we do, then show us some love on social media. Facebook it out, tweet about it, put it out on LinkedIn, maybe a Snapchat story, tell people why you love it and how they can too. Whatever platform you use, it doesn't take a couple of seconds to share the link, help us get our stories across and help us reach new people. What you could also do is recommend us to a friend. If you know anyone who is self-employed or runs a local business in the Cheltenham and Gloucester area, they could advertise at a very small price on our show, supporting what is a fantastic little volunteer project in the process. Just get them to drop us an email, utspodcast@gmail.com, and make sure they set their header as advertising. Now, I did say Moxie isn't with me, but he is going to feature, and I did manage to catch up with him during the week, and it turns out the pups have actually been getting stuck into a little bit of rugby league action.
This month, there is no rugby union news from the pups, other than we have now officially finished the season and are no longer under 14s. Our training continued up until the schools broke up for the summer holidays, which gave our forwards a head start on the new jumping and lifting laws in the line-out that are coming into effect at under 15 level. There is a result from the Rugby League match where Aidan Smith, Alex Edwards, Alex Lannan, Charlie Maker, Harry Collier, Keane Mazovic, Noah Bewes, Ryan Eccles and Sam Birch all join forces with players from Cheltenham North and Breedon to take on a rugby league team from Oxford. Unfortunately, Harvey Gillett and Jaden Hughes were unable to play and the boys suffered a defeat to a team that have been playing rugby league for a lot longer than our boys. And I mean, that was pretty clear to see. Our boys had only really up to 6 weeks or 6 hours of training playing rugby league. Whereas these guys from Oxford, they've obviously been playing for a lot longer, probably 2-3 years at least. So our boys did really well. I mean, there's no excuses. The game was played in a great spirit and our boys never gave up and kept going right up until the final whistle. So a big thank you to everyone, especially Mike Hughes, who coached the boys under the Cheltenham Phoenix banner. That was a great day, actually. No news for August, except that we will regroup as under-15s and start training at 6:30pm on August the 24th at King George V playing fields. Hopefully, we will welcome back all of our players from last season and maybe some more. Up the Saris pups!
Some fantastic stuff from the pups, and hopefully that rugby league skill and experience will help them in the long run with this upcoming union season. And talking of things happening over the past month, it is a massive shame that Charity 7's 5 was cancelled at the very last minute right back at the start of July. Four teams pulling out in the space of a day is absolutely ridiculous. And I feel a little bit sorry for Jack Kerr, not just because it was his sister Kitty's charity and, you know, hopefully she'll continue to raise money over the coming months and, of course, years. But some of the comments he had to endure on the Facebook groups comparing his organisation to mine. And at the time, I actually really loved seeing those comments. I'm not going to lie. I thought that was some hilarious stuff. But I also think it's not really fair to compare my organisation of it to his, because, well, for a start, he had a lot less time than me. I start organising it in January. He started in about mid-May, or maybe mid-April. So he had nowhere near the time scale that I did. He also works a full-time job, which I think, I mean, I did it a couple of years ago, working a full-time job, but then I was on a 30-hour deal, and I think he's on probably quite a bit more than that. So again, I'm not even sure you can really compare that. And of course, I have zero social life, so I naturally had a lot more time on my hands to make sure it got done. So I'm not really sure you can compare my organization to his, but you know, at the end of the day, it's an 8-year-old girl who's missing out on money. So, you know, go and find them on Facebook, Cotswold Kitty Walks the Way. Make a donation, maybe, because if you were planning to buy something at the auction and you couldn't, still give them money anyway. Show them some love, Cotswold Kitty Walks the Way on Facebook. Food for thought, though, maybe it would have been a lot more interesting to see how it would have played out if he hadn't got involved with it. And that's all I'm going to say on that matter. But that is officially last month, and that is now out of the way. And it's now August, and we're one step closer to the start of the season. And I'm currently in mid-planning for a trip to Ireland at the minute. I'm not sure how that will affect the September episode of the podcast. We might have to do it a week late. But I'm only going to Ireland for a week, so I can't see it really affecting anything, actually. I just wanted to broadcast that out to everybody, just in case that if something does happen and I'm not able to put the podcast, I don't want people giving me a kick in. It's also quite funny that we mentioned a trip to Ireland in the introduction segment, because Susie Bloom joins us on the show. How is that fitting, I hear you say? Well, I'll tell you, shut up. A little known fact, I think, is that Susie used to play camogie, which is the ladies' version of the Irish sport of hurling, in Gloucestershire, right here in Cheltenham. So I'd like to think that's some kind of a fortunate little link right there. To those who know me, I love a little bit of Gaelic football and hurling, so you know, any opportunity for me to kind of have a chat on that is always going to happen. And other than that, I don't really know any other kind of special links, because all the other shows are A, recorded in Cheltenham, and B, are based on grassroots rugby, and that goes for every show, so that's not really a special link, because they're all like that. There's nothing special about it. Susie is a pretty familiar face on the ladies rugby scene, having played for a few local clubs to a pretty decent standard. She probably won't thank me for saying this either, but she seems to be one of those people who have been around forever. Now, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but you know when you see someone constantly, and I don't know, it feels almost like she's part of the furniture now at the club, because she's been around for so long. And it's great that she, you know, volunteered to come on the show and was quite up for it, because not everyone wants to talk, so, you know, that's awesome. And it's a name we mentioned, actually, when we were first starting the podcast, actually, that Susie Bloom could be somebody to have on, which I certainly think was definitely the right idea. Now, just a word of warning, during this chat, you might hear some voices floating around in the background, and that's because me and Moxie had to share a microphone. And I'm not going to point fingers, because it was me that made a mistake, but I forgot the splitter for the microphones, so rather than using three microphones and everyone getting their own, we were only able to use two, so me and Moxie had to share. So I'm pretty sure at some point you'll kind of hear voices kind of in the background and then coming nearer to the mic, and that's just me kind of just waving the microphone around to try to catch everything that's going on. So, you know, if you hear voices in the background and things don't quite make sense, don't worry too much about it. That's on me. That's my problem. But Susie has a microphone all to her own, so all of her answers will come out crystal clear. And it's, you know, she's the guest, so we want to hear what she's got to say. But all of her answers will come in crystal clear, so there's nothing to worry about there. That said, hopefully you will enjoy this one. It's quite a nice, laid-back chat. I thought it was really friendly, really chatty. And it's great to be able to shed some light on the women's game, of course, with the World Cup in another Ireland reference, actually, interestingly enough, is just around the corner. So, yeah, get comfortable. We'll be right back after sitting down with Susie Bloom.
The UTS podcast is brought to you by...
Our sponsor for this show is once again Tone Radio, the student radio station of the University of Gloucestershire. Tone Radio broadcasts online all day every day, with student-led programming taking place from midday to midnight during term time. Tone Radio also aims to cover for all tastes in music, whether it's latest hits, maybe it's pop classics, maybe you like a bit of golden oldies, because who doesn't? Even specific genre stuff, such as metal and alternative, Tone will have something to cater for every single music taste. Not only that, Tone will also provide some great local sporting news, updates and results, all of which will be brought to you by myself. If you want to listen live, and why wouldn't you, head over to toneradio.co.uk and you can listen to the show live as it happens, watch it as it happens from the studio webcams, or if you're on the go, don't panic, you can check it out on the TuneIn app. So to find out more, or to listen live, check it out at toneradio.co.uk, that's toneradio.co.uk, and one more time, toneradio.co.uk. If you want to advertise cheaply on the UTS podcast, you can do. Declare your interest by dropping us an email at utspodcast@gmail.com and setting your header as advertising. But actually, I'm not going to start off with rugby, because I remember in a conversation with you probably a couple of years ago that you actually used to play camogie.
I did.
Where did that come from?
I was out on George V, just walking the dog, and there were people playing camogie, and I asked if I could join. And they said yes. So that's what
it.
I did.
Just...
Yeah, and I started playing camogie. Yeah, it was great. Great fun.
How did you find it?
I loved it. It was great fun, but the club actually folded after a season, so I never had the chance to carry on with it.
Which one was that? Was that St. Joseph's?
Can't remember. But that's how I met Gail Kelly. Gail O'Kelly. I don't know if you know Gail O'Kelly. She's one of the girls that she came to Cheltenham Rugby then with me, and we played together at Cheltenham for years after that. Yeah, but that's how we met.
Wow, that's really weird. Because when you said it, I was like, because I didn't think camogie was...
Well, camogie is the female version of hurling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and but it was a women's team that was playing on George V, and I saw them playing.
I mean, had you ever seen anything like that before?
No,
or
never. No.
I just saw it.
I thought, oh, that looks great fun. I'm going to do that.
That's so
strange.
And we
did. It was great.
Oh, there you go. Happy days. Because I remember thinking, because hurling's not huge over here. It's
Irish, isn't it?
Mm, yeah. It's very much something you've got to have really grown up with. It's a real cultural thing.
Yeah.
But like Gaelic football's played over here quite a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, if there's any of those who do play Gaelic football are listening, they'll probably be hating me right now. But there is a little bit less skill involved, maybe, probably in the way you have to defend yourself in hurling and stuff, with sticks flying left, right and centre and that. But yeah, that's kind of strange, actually. You just literally just saw it and was
well,
just
that's
like...
the same as the rugby, though. Somebody just said, oh, do you fancy a bit of keep fit? I said, oh, yeah, okay, then. And I went to rugby training and played for 18 years after that. So, yeah, it was all a bit on, you know, on the cuff sort of thing.
You got into that quite late, didn't you, rugby?
I was about 36 when I started playing.
When everyone else is retiring, you're getting into it. And you played for how long? 18 years?
18 years, yeah. I think I was about 55 actually when I played my last game.
Because you played at Cheltenham, didn't you?
And yeah, played at Cheltenham for
civil service as well, didn't you?
Only for a few years, civil service, the odd game now and again. Yeah. It wasn't.
I mean,
I've
heard off one or two people that you're actually the female version of Pete Lodge.
Because I keep hurting people.
Yeah, clumsy oaf. Yeah.
Clumsy oaf, you're right there. Yeah.
Every single episode we've had a Pete Lodge dig.
Yeah.
He must never listen to any of the episodes. Do you just want to voice, you know, I'm going to hand you the mic here. And do you just want to voice your problems with Pete? I noticed none of this came up at all during the Pete Lodge episode, I'd like to add as well. It's only when he's out of the room.
He actually injured me once in training as well. So yeah,
I broke his leg.
You broke someone's leg.
Yeah, yeah, and she's actually now partially invalided as a result of that break. And it was really the most simple tackle and she just went down, and it was a horrendous break. And she was in hospital for about, I don't know, 2 months, and now she is partially, well, not handicapped, that's really the wrong word to use. She's sort of disabled, partially disabled. Yeah, so I feel really bad about that.
Yeah, the laughter says otherwise. I'm not going to lie.
But she's forgiven me.
We asked most people about nicknames.
Yeah.
Obviously, bloomers comes to mind.
Yeah.
Is that from a particular type of underwear, or is it?
Not. It's not anything to do with underwear whatsoever. My maiden name was Bloom.
Right.
So that was it. But you could also say bloomers is associated with ups, if you like. So I probably did quite a lot of those. So that's probably another reason why I'm called Bloomers.
Oh dear.
It's got nothing to do with sleeping.
Which is ironic, actually.
Funnily
because
enough,
you tend to fall asleep just about anywhere.
I know, love. Absolutely, yeah. I think it is called narcolepsy, but I think mine's sort of slightly aided with glasses of wine and
just speeds,
vodka shots.
Just
yeah.
speeds the process
yeah.
up.
Just a little. And obviously my shifts work is where I work. Because I'm a nurse, I work night shifts, day shifts, so...
Oh, well, there you go. So you're constantly, like, it affects everything.
Yeah.
Like, the sleep pattern's just
ruined. Yeah, that's right, absolutely. I've got
no sleep
pattern.
Oh, that makes sense, then.
Yeah,
that makes
sense. Absolutely.
What she's trying to do is trying to justify it.
I am.
I mean, we'll chat a bit about the sort of narcolepsy in a minute.
All right, then.
But, I mean, going back to the rugby, you not only played for... Cheltenham Civil Service.
Didn't Cheltenham Ladies.
Sorry, Cheltenham Ladies, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you, you played for the South West as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I played a couple
obviously
of games for Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
And I played a season for the South West. And I played for, I was at college in Cheltenham as well, I played for the college. So, yeah.
Do you know how many times you played for South West? How many games?
I think I played twice, that was all, yeah.
No,
I only got picked for one season. I think they're pretty desperate for hookers that year, do you know what I mean? So that's probably how I snuck in at 38, but...
I was going to say, yeah, that's
38 years old,
that's,
yeah.
That's pretty good going.
Yeah. I just, like I said, everybody sort of like couldn't really believe that I got selected to play for the South West of England. Like I said, I think they were pretty short on front row. But it was a great experience. You know, I was really chuffed that they selected me. But
can you remember the games?
Yeah, I remember the games, yeah.
Who were they against?
Yeah. Can't remember that, but I remember the games.
Okay.
I remember the games. Sorry. I remember the last game because I broke my finger. So that's why I remember that one.
Right, okay.
But, I remember.
None of your teammates broke it for you, though?
No, I wasn't them. No, it was definitely... it was a ball, actually. That was
so
like the
bitter.
The ball hit me on the finger. Do you know what it's like when it hits you right on the end of the finger? And then that was it. It was gone. Yeah. It was good. It was a good experience. But, you know, I loved playing for Cheltenham. That was, you know, the best time for me. I loved it there.
Yeah, that was one of the questions as well. From Pitters.
Pitter what? Mike?
I'm not going to say which one.
Oh, right.
He asked me yesterday if I'd ask you, where does your heart lie? Is it Cheltenham or is it the Saris?
Oh, it's definitely the Saris now. You know, back in the day when I played rugby, it was Cheltenham, obviously, but no, not now. It's, you know, I don't play rugby anymore. I come here because I like the people and I like the atmosphere. And it's got nothing to do with whether Danny played because he was in Australia for 2 years. So it's Saris is our rugby club and it always will be. Yeah, Simon wants his ashes scattered on the pitch when he goes. So, yeah, no, it's a great club. I love it.
Yeah, that wasn't to count you out.
No, I get that. No, but yeah, Cheltenham Rugby Club, you know, those days were great.
Yeah, it's the same as me. You know,
yeah, they've gone now, yeah. So this is it.
Well, there you go, Mike.
All right, Mike.
I thought you said you weren't going to tell which one it was.
You know. Yeah.
So... Going right the way back, how involved were you in rugby kind of growing up, like as a kid?
Not at all. I didn't know anything about it whatsoever.
Not even at school? Or,
no, not at all. My dad played. He was in the police force and he played for the police, but I never watched him play a rugby match.
No?
No, I'd never watched it on telly. So, and when my mate said, let's do some fitness, do you fancy playing rugby? I didn't have a clue. And that was pretty evident when I turned up to training because I really didn't have a clue. And it took me months. And poor old Roger Brown tearing his hair out, what hair he had. You know, for me to learn the rules, it took me so long to understand it all, but I never really did, really. I think I spent most of my time running around like a headless chicken, sort of chasing the ball. I don't think I really ever understood it that well, but it was just great fun.
Finally, a guest I can relate to.
Do you enjoy rugby?
Yeah, I'd love to be able to play.
Do you like watching it?
Oh, I love watching it, yeah. I prefer watching it live. Well, okay, I know we're going to go down that road. Yeah.
Do you know where I'm going?
I know exactly where you're going, yeah.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, I was in New Zealand watching the Lions tour, and the first provincial game was at Eden Park.
Playing the Barbarians, weren't they?
And they were playing the Barbarians. And I was a bit jet lagged. I'd had a couple of beers and I just fell asleep on Simon's shoulder. And the next thing I knew, I was being woken up because the camera crew had focused in on me and I was up on the big screen and everybody was just themselves laughing. So that was really embarrassing. But what made me laugh was I had some texts from friends in England saying that they'd seen me as well. So I don't know how they got to see me, but obviously, you know, they did. So it was really embarrassing. Yeah. But I couldn't help it.
Those kind of stories are the best, though.
Yeah. You know. Well, it was a bit random, really. Do you know, I wasn't expecting to fall asleep in a stadium full of, you know, sort of thousands of people watching rugby. But it just happened. I just gone like that. Yeah.
But it's the spontaneity of the whole thing makes it what it is. Yeah. Because you couldn't plan it.
No. Do you know what I mean? Of course, I never planned it. We paid $40 each for our tickets. I hadn't planned it. And it was absolutely, it was chucking it with rain as well. It was freezing and it was, you know, pouring down with rain and, you know, it's just...
Everything to keep you awake.
Like, absolutely everything that could...
The noise,
everything. And no, that was it, gone. Somewhere in my brain, it just said, no, I've had enough, I'm going to sleep.
So how was it over there for the Lions?
It's absolutely amazing. The country itself is beautiful. And the Kiwis are the friendliest people.
Didn't something happen in a pub? Didn't somebody just come along and give you some tickets for a game?
That was the Maori All Blacks game. We didn't have tickets for that, yeah. And we were in a pub, and we'd resigned ourselves to watching it on the telly because we couldn't get tickets. And there was a group of Kiwis sat next to us, and they just asked us if we would like to go because they didn't want to go and sit in the rain. So they handed us our tickets. We tried to pay for them, and they wouldn't accept any money. So off we went to watch the Maori All Blacks and wound up on a tarpaulin with two old Maoris watching the game in the rain. It's great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's everything that happened over there was so spontaneous. We didn't go with a package. We just winged it. We hired a camper van and we just winged it. And we had some of the most amazing experiences because, you know, it wasn't organised. These things just happened. It was just great, yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if you did that bungee jump. Did you do that?
No. I didn't do the bungee jump, no.
Did you think
about it? You wouldn't catch me doing a bungee jump. if you paid me £1 million, no way. We did go on a wild sort of like
water ride.
We did about 80 kilometres down the Hooker Falls. So that was great fun. I don't mind that, but I won't jump off anything. No, no way.
Did you, so how long were you out there for?
5 weeks.
5 weeks?
Yeah. It was great. We didn't get to see, we only saw the first test, and then we didn't have tickets for the first test. We were going to go and watch it in a pub.
You snuck in?
I know. A friend of ours, just who works for a travel agent, said, we've got two tickets. You can have them for $100 each. And our friends that we were with had paid $900 for theirs. And we managed to sit next to them as well. So they were a bit gutted. Yeah, we were really lucky to see that. That was brilliant.
Oh, brilliant.
Loved it. Yeah, we loved it.
I'm just loving this whole thing of, we don't want to sit in the rain, here are our tickets.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, the Kiwis didn't want to sit in the rain to watch the rugby match, you know.
Finally British weather paying dividends.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, isn't their climate similar to ours?
Yeah, I think their summers are a lot better. I think their seasons are more defined as well. You know, they get a definite winter,
so they should be used
spring,
to the
summer,
rain,
yeah. But they didn't want to go out in it, so we gained from that. You know, it was good fun.
Fantastic.
No, and it's the most stunning country. We would drive and couldn't imagine it could be more beautiful. And round the corner, it was even more beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
And we never even made it to the South Island, so we're going to go back there next year.
Okay.
And go to the South Island, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Mm. What other questions have you lot got? I'm dreading this.
I'm loving this. There's so much nervous energy. It's probably not picking up on the microphones, but it is. There is a lot of nerves going on.
I know there's some questions he can't possibly ask me on radio, so I'm breathing a sigh of relief.
It's all right. We could always do what we did with Jimmy Mack, and we'll just post the edited version up on a private link. It'd be fine. It'd be absolutely fine. Going back, you said your friend kind of just invited you down to do rugby and you didn't really understand the rules. Do you remember much of your senior debut?
My first game? Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name of the team. I can never remember teams, but I remember the game. And I remember they got a penalty, and so they were kicking against us. And I stood on their side with them while they were kicking the ball against us. I wonder why everybody shouted at me, and you know, that's right, yeah. So that's what I mean by I didn't have a bloody clue.
Was there a team that you particularly enjoyed playing? Whether
against.
I think the best game I remember
that I ever played was against a team called Waterloo.
Okay.
And their number 8 was the captain at the time, and so I think it was a cup match. And it was really hard, and we really got our asses kicked. But we were playing against girls who were England level,
yeah.
So it really was a great game. We you know, thoroughly enjoyed that one. That one sticks out really more than anything, yeah.
And on the flip side, was there a team that you just really didn't want to play?
A London team that we used to go and play against, and when we used to go and play there, their supporters would stand on the sideline and call us all the names under the sun. And, you know, really abuse us. And they were very violent. They never played rugby, really. They just punched everybody. So
that's surprising, really, for London at that sort of time as well.
Yeah, no, that's how they were. So we never enjoyed playing them. It wasn't a joy. And luckily, they got thrown out of the league anyway because they couldn't play rugby. They just, you know, were abusive and violent. And
yeah. Because when you said that, I thought you were going to say Richmond because they were...
I liked playing Richmond. They were good.
They were good, though, weren't they? Very good side. Yeah,
they were a good side. A lot of the girls were emerging England players, or you know, so it was always a good game. I didn't like their pitch very much, but
no,
it's like a bog.
Yeah, they nicked their shirts from Gloucester last season, didn't they?
Did they? What do you mean? No, literally,
their shirt. Exactly same shirts.
Oh,
yeah.
Same shirts. Yeah. No, their pitch was very uneven, and when it rained, it was really boggy, so it wasn't great to play on. But I always liked playing.
Sounds like Everest Road.
Yeah, does it? Well, it sounded like the top pitch at Cheltenham. At Cheltenham, didn't it? That was a horrible pitch.
It was.
Really,
yeah.
Didn't like playing on that.
Have you got any really sort of memorable moments playing?
Memorable moments playing.
Whether it's funny or.
Funny. I've got sort of memories of, you know, fights we got ourselves into, that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Just sort of handbags at 10 paces. And that was always funny. To me, the funny parts really were afterwards in the shower. We all had a laugh or went out for a drink afterwards. Do you know what I mean? On the coach, probably. Those are my most memorable moments on the coach, on the way back from every game.
There's a couple more memorable moments about the coach.
Really?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. We got into those.
Who have you been talking to?
I couldn't possibly say. Somebody said that one of the most memorable things about you is that you were when you went to scrum down, you didn't have very good, is it, pelvic floor muscles?
I wonder who told you that. Well, I had had 5 children, so come on. Yeah, the second row always used to complain I used to wee on them. I didn't. I'm sure, absolutely sure I didn't. But
so
they used to take the mickey out of me. I'm weeing on them.
On them, yeah.
I thought this was going to be a civilised conversation.
Oh, it could be so much worse. We're keeping it really tame for the radio.
So, let's get into it. What would you say was your most embarrassing moment, apart from...
In my life?
Well, if you like. But
no, I'm not going there, actually. No. I couldn't possibly go there.
This feels like
rugby.
A story I really want to hear now.
Embarrassing moment in rugby. God. Not rugby tour. You're talking rugby playing.
Rugby in general.
In general. My most embarrassing moment. Probably were all embarrassing, so it all blended into one. There's got to be something specific that someone's told you about. But I really don't remember.
No,
don't remember, love.
No, this is your opinion. It's not.
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't. I mean, I don't remember ever being embarrassed by anything. So.
Yeah. So yeah.
Other than obviously the cock-ups I made on the rugby pitch, which was often.
So I suppose at the minute then it's just being on the big screen.
Apart from being on the big screen. Yeah, the most fast famous asleep.
The most famous fan in New Zealand.
The most famous van.
Fan.
Fan. Oh, yeah.
Lions
yeah.
fan. Yeah.
So, what is he talking about? I don't know actually if it was a reflection of the game. That's the other way you could look at it.
Yeah.
It was that boring, I fell asleep. Because all the other games are actually quite interesting and I mostly kept awake. So perhaps it was the standard of the game.
Is this all the questions I'm seeing here?
No, this is just a couple of the...
I was going to say, he's flicking through things on his tablet, ladies and gents, and it's... If all of these are questions, then actually I might just turn my phone off entirely.
Well, just ask me. Just ask me.
We've got some real great ones here.
Come on, then. Right. Go for it.
Yeah, obviously I asked a few people if they got any stories. there's quite a bit of a theme to a lot of them.
Go on, then.
You'll find out what it is. Apparently you got lost, all the girls lost you on a hen do in Edinburgh.
Oh, Edinburgh? No, it was Taunton.
They found you in a locked toilet asleep?
Oh, that was Edinburgh. Yes, you're right. Yeah, that was another occasion where I felt like I could do with a little bit of snooze, so I locked myself in the toilet. Yeah. I was missing in action for about 2 hours, I think, and eventually they came to find me and found me with my knickers around my ankles, sat on the toilet fast asleep.
Same thing again in Dublin.
And in Dublin, I think I fell asleep under a table in that really loud pub that everybody goes to. What's it called? The
I don't know the name of the pub.
Oh, what's the Temple the Temple Bar? Yeah. I fell asleep under a table
falling
in
asleep
the Temple
on the base
Bar.
Of a table.
Yeah,
in a really busy. Yeah, falling asleep on a tour bus and missing our drop off at the rugby club.
Oh, that was quite funny actually.
And waking up
well,
at
it wasn't actually funny because I woke up. And I'd gone to sleep and the whole bus had been heaving. Everybody was dancing and singing and having a wonderful time. And then I woke up and there was nobody on the bus. It was stationary outside B&Q. And the door was locked and I was on my own. I started panicking, trying to open the door. And it swung open and I just fell flat on my face out of the coach onto my nose.
That might be the same one or a different one, but... another one here, taking your poor innocent boys to the ladies' rugby changing rooms.
Oh,
and
yeah,
putting them off for life.
Bless them. My little boy, my youngest boy, was probably about, at that point, he probably was about 18 months. I think he was about 3 months when I started playing. But he was 18 months and he was crying for me. So I went out to collect him, brought him in. Of course, all the girls were in the change room naked, showering, and he became hysterical. And yeah, he's turned out all right though. He's got a girlfriend. It didn't really affect him that badly.
On the way to a match, I think Josh, he was 8.
Oh yeah, I do feel really bad about that. I sincerely feel bad about that because we sort of debagged him a little bit.
Down to his green Y-fronts, apparently.
It was his underpants. Yeah, he swears to this day that it was everything, but it wasn't. It was just his underpants, and he was laughing and along with us, and so we thought it was quite funny. But later on, he told me in later life that he was really embarrassed. So I feel very, very sorry about that.
Another time, I don't know if this is the same one, but you fell asleep on the tour bus, or on the bus, and the driver stopped at McDonald's, and in a rush to get some food, you fell off and smacked your face on the way
That's
down.
That's the same one. That's the same one I've told you about just a minute ago. He had said he'd take me home in the coach. The girls all got off because they couldn't wake me up. He said he would take me home, but on the way home he'd stopped outside, I think it was McDonald's, and that's when I woke up and panicked because everybody had gone and I was alone in a coach.
What happened in Paignton? You apparently all the girls lost you again.
Yeah, that was I fell asleep in the nightclub.
Somebody helped to bring you back to the hotel.
They did, bless them. I fell asleep in a nightclub. And again, another situation where I woke up, nightclub was empty, bouncers were kicking everybody out, kicked me out, and I didn't know. I knew I was in Taunton, but that was all I knew. Couldn't remember where my hotel was, didn't have any phone numbers, didn't know the road. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, so I was walking through Taunton on my own, dressed as a schoolgirl, absolutely bricking it, because I didn't know where the hell I was supposed to be going. And luckily, a police van came along, so I flagged them down. There was about 3 police officers in this van. And bless their hearts, how they did it, on the very, very little information I had to give them, how they found the hotel, I will never, ever know. But it was a process of elimination, I think. All I knew was, or what I thought the hotel was called, the Don Juan. That's what I thought it was called. It wasn't called the Don Juan. It was called the Bon Ton. So how they... So how those coppers deduced the whereabouts of that hotel, I will never know.
Was it because of that one of the ladies actually got a load of wristbands from a hospital and you had to write down, or everyone had to write down
I think who they were, where they had to go? After that, I think everybody had ID on them. Yeah. So if anything ever happened, they'd be able to find where they lived.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, going back, when I asked for stories and whatever, virtually everyone said, where do I start? You know they're going to be good if it's where do I start? Another one here that's come from your lovely husband.
Oh, has it now?
In New Zealand. Yeah. Sorry, Simon. In New Zealand, somebody nick your hat?
Oh my God, he hasn't told you that, has he?
So somebody quite famous.
Well. I thought he'd nick my hat. He was doing some sort of talk somewhere, this guy. I didn't know who he was, but they said that his name was Shane Williams.
Shane Williams,
that's
yeah.
That's right. And so anyway, he was doing a talk, and my friend said that she wanted to go and have a photograph taken with him. So we all sort of trotted off behind her. And so she had her photograph taken with him. And then he said, oh, everybody have a photograph. So I sort of knelt down in front of him. And my other friends were stood around, and I had my Lions Tour hat on. And the next thing I knew, somebody had nicked it. And I don't know why, I was just instinctive. I thought it was the bloke behind me, so I punched him straight in the guts. And I turned around, it was this Shane bloke, you know, but it wasn't him, bless his heart. He wasn't the one that nicked my hat, it was my friend. But it was just sort of like, and he just looked so shocked and stunned that he'd been whacked in the chest by
so
this
many international
crazy
rugby
woman.
Players wanted to do that.
Probably. So he was a bit lost for words after that, yeah. Bless.
Doing something nice and then gets a punch in the stomach, yeah.
He didn't go down though, Lev, so, you know, it couldn't have been that bad.
No.
Could it?
No. There's one that I probably shouldn't really say, but...
You're going to anyway.
I will anyway. a bird accused you of calling her something in a match... And you replied, did I f***? Then kicked her head in.
No, love, that's absolute bullshit. Bullshit. I was accused of saying something to somebody in a game.
Yeah.
It was a nice young Indian lady accused me of calling her a name, which I didn't call her.
Yeah.
But I got red carded for that, yellow carded for that, which I was really angry about because I knew I hadn't said it. And my husband said that even her own supporters on the sideline said she always pulls that card every game and manages to get a penalty. So I think it was just something she did to give the team an advantage. But it was really annoying because I'd be the last person in the world to ever make any reference to anybody's race or anything. So
yeah, we know that
was really annoying. But, you know, that's just a dirty tactic she used to gain some ground. So, hey ho.
Some questions here from some of the guys that you've probably might not have seen for a while.
Like?
Johnny Morris?
Oh, Johnny Morris. Yes.
Can you remember our prom club lock-ins? Yeah,
I do remember, Johnny. I also remember you owe me £5 for the taxi home because you were so drunk I had to pour you in it. So, yes, I do remember. Bless him. I haven't heard from him in 15 years. Funny you put that on... you put that on the Cheltenham and all of a sudden he popped up. That was so funny.
Yeah, Jill has asked, have you ever gone out without falling asleep?
Yeah, loads of times. I've been to your house and I haven't fallen asleep. I've been here loads of times and not fallen asleep.
I don't know if that constitutes as going out.
It does for us, though.
I'll be honest, I don't even know if that's true.
I've never fallen asleep in your house, have I? Oh, I might have had a little power nap.
For 10, 15 minutes.
Maybe.
That doesn't count, does it? yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all the questions from people. One person did, and I totally agree with it. They said, all these stories and everything. Basically, she's just amazing, and I agree with that.
Oh, thank you very much. I don't know who said that, but thank you very much.
I think, everyone thinks that.
Oh, cheers, Moxie. You're a star.
That's right, we haven't finished yet.
Oh, haven't we? Haven't
no.
We? Well, that was it.
She has. She's finished.
I might have to have another drink then.
Yeah. I mean, keeping it with the rugby, have you got an all-time favourite player, male or female?
Oh, yes, definitely. His name was Joost van Westerhuizen.
Van der Westhuizen?
Yeah. I could never really pronounce it, but I spent most of my time looking at him, not worrying about his name. Yeah, he was absolutely stunning and also a brilliant rugby player.
Yeah,
very tragic. Yeah.
Yeah, the best scrum half I've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely gorgeous. Definitely. Yeah, he was my favourite of all time.
Not Shane Williams then?
Not Shane Williams. No, he's a little fella. But you know, he's quite handsome, but not my type. No, bless. I don't think I was his either.
Yeah, a couple of other questions here. Who would you say would be your funniest teammate?
My funniest teammate, it's probably got to be Jilly Scott. She was very funny. She still is very funny. Yeah, she makes me laugh. So yeah, I mean, all my mates are good fun. But
no stories?
She always makes me laugh. Oh, I got loads of stories about Jilly, but I couldn't possibly tell you on the radio.
We can edit.
I don't trust you, so no.
yeah, during your playing days, who would you say probably was the best tackler in your team?
Oh, Nicky Skeen by a mile. Yeah, definitely. Everybody tackled. The only other person I think was as good as Nicky Skeen, because she was consistently good, but the person that would hit and they go back miles would be, she was actually a Maori girl called Selena, who ended up playing for England. She was a fantastic player and she tackled like a bloke. But consistently and technically, Nicky Skeen was the best.
Who would you say was the bravest player you played with?
The bravest player? I think we're all pretty brave for being there in the first place. You know what I mean? Rugby is a tough game.
Yeah.
You know, and it isn't for the faint-hearted. I think all the girls were brave. You know, it's a hard, tough experience. And you put your body on the line, don't you, for your teammates and, you know, so I think all of them.
The loosest cannon.
That was probably me. The most dangerous, probably me.
Yeah. Okay. Who would have been the best coach or manager?
All our coaches were great. Honestly, they were brilliant, all of them. But the training sessions I loved the most were the ones that Roger Brown did. He was always really hard on us, and I liked that.
Was that with a punch bag?
We used to go tackle wheels, tyres, and run with tyres on our heads and all sorts of stuff. He was an absolute really.
I think that was more sort of about Roger with a punch bag.
What, being the
No, with a punch
oh,
bag.
Oh, right. yeah, but I mean, all the coaches were very different and all had different expectations and different ways of coaching, and they were all great and they were all really committed to, you know, sort of the girls. So, yeah, they were all brilliant, but I think probably Roger Brown was my favourite coach, yeah.
Out of your boys, obviously we know Dan most for playing up here. Mm. Did they all play rugby or was it just Dan?
No, Tom played rugby. My eldest played rugby. My second lad, he did a lot of climbing and sailing. My third son did taekwondo and he was actually a British champion for a little while. Danny obviously played rugby, and Jakey.
He was British champion.
He was British champion.
I'm regretting asking some of these questions now.
Yeah. And then Dan, Jake, he played here for a while as well. So, yeah, three boys out of five played rugby a lot.
You know what's coming?
No, I don't, mate.
Who was the best player?
Oh, that's not fair, because they're all very different. They were all very different. You know, Tommy, you know, was a great tackler and very, very fit. You know, Dan is a very, very strong bloke. And Jake was very good as well. You know, so they were all good in their own way. You know, you could never, ever have a favourite. You could never. That's a very unfair question.
Answer like a politician.
Yeah. Susie Bloom, MP.
I vote.
Yeah.
No, move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get away from that. Yes. Right. Okay. If you could attend any sporting event in the world, what would it be?
Oh, that's a very good question. The Paralympics. I would really love to go and watch that. I've been watching it on the telly.
Any particular event?
The running. Yeah, I'm really inspired by those people. Amazing, they are amazing. Yeah. And I just can't get my head around all, you know, how they do it on those sort of metal legs. What are they called? There's got to be a word.
Spikes,
whatever they're called. They're incredible.
The blades, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd love to go to watch the Paralympics. Yeah.
Why the Paralympics? Just because of the inspiration?
Because I just think they're very courageous people, yeah. Aren't they? You know, they've already been through so much trauma. And then to come out and be as successful as they are. A friend of mine, her daughter had meningitis, and she lost her legs, and she does a lot of swimming. Mm. And they are involved with the Saris, actually. But she's amazing. They're amazing people, you know, to have such determination when everything's gone against them. And, you know, to achieve the things they achieve, they make me feel sort of bad, really, that I don't do more than I do, because, you know, they're, like I say, they're really inspiring, aren't they? Quite humbling to watch them.
It's funny you should say that, actually, because I'm very much the same. Like, I look at it and I think, you know, they've been through so much, and then they're doing this.
Mm. Like, absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm able-bodied, not that that's like an excuse or anything, but no. I'm just like sitting on my sofa and...
Yeah, doing nothing.
Stuffing
that's
my
what I
face
mean.
With cake and...
They are a great example to everybody.
Oh, yeah, hugely.
You know, they should be very proud of themselves.
Well, I was going to say, you've done work with disabled kids as well.
Well, I was coaching the students here. I did a couple of seasons for the college, the students with learning disabilities.
That's right, yeah.
So I was coaching them.
I couldn't think of the
rugby,
word.
Yeah. And that was great fun. I loved that, absolutely loved that. And the kids really took it on board. Took them quite a long time to understand the concept of going forward and passing backwards, but then so did I. Took me months before I learnt that one. Do you know what I mean? So it's quite difficult, actually, because in football, you know, you can sort of kick the ball about, but in rugby, it's a little bit more regimented, isn't it? So they did find that really difficult.
I avoided that by just never passing.
Mm. Did you love that?
To be fair, I also never ran with the ball.
That's right. So what were you doing?
I followed it. I was like the first man into the ruck, and that was it. That was all I did. Yeah. I think.
Well, that's probably but all I did, really. I don't think I ever got my hand on the ball very often.
Well, I heard so many positive things about the work you were doing.
Yeah. The reason that I had to stop it is because I took on a new role at Sue Ryder because I qualified as a nurse. My previous employers had let me have Wednesdays off so I could go and coach the kids. But when I got the staff nurse job at Sue Ryder Hospice, I couldn't do that anymore. You've got to do the shifts that you're given and you have to commit yourself to the job. So I couldn't do it anymore, and the only day that they could do it was a Wednesday morning. So I just couldn't do it anymore, which is a real shame because, you know, I loved it and the kids loved it. But we even had Terry Fanaloa came down once and helped me. And he was brilliant with them. He really was amazing. Mm. He'd never coached students like that before. And he just, you know, he was a natural. He does coach anyway, doesn't he? Yeah. Who does he coach now?
He's
Terry Fanaloa. He's
Old Richards, isn't he?
I don't know if he might have retired now, but he was playing for Old Richards.
Oh, was he? Oh, right,
sure,
okay.
Him as well,
so. Oh, right, yeah. Because I think when he came and helped me, he'd just come back from France. He would have been playing in France or something?
He also... along with Gloucester, he sort of sets up sending current players to teams all around Gloucestershire. So he sort of organises all that.
Mm.
So he's heavily involved with the coaching side of it.
Brilliant. I mean, next year I am hoping to change my shifts and therefore perhaps be able to resurrect that again. I don't know. It just all depends on my job.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, well, staying with younger ones, obviously, you know, we've got the under, well, what, yeah. Where the under 14s
yeah.
going through now to the under 15s.
Yeah, brilliant.
With your past experiences, have you got any advice you'd give to them?
To the kids?
To the kids, yeah.
Enjoy it. You know, I think it's just, you know, obviously it's a professional game now. And so when I coached the minis and juniors at Cheltenham, when it became professional, everything changed and there was pressure even on the kids who were 6 and 7 to, you know, perform well on the pitch and pressure from the parents for them to do well. I just felt that wasn't right. At the end of the day, it's still a game, isn't it?
The thing is, kids nowadays, they get so much pressure from schools, from home,
absolutely.
From other kids. It's too much, isn't it?
That's right, absolutely. Then that age, 14, they should be just enjoying it. It's a team game. They should be there with their friends, you know, having a laugh and you know, sort of not worrying about, you know, whether they're the best or not, or whether they score a try or not, or, you know, if they play for county or whatever. It doesn't matter. They should just be enjoying it for the sport.
It's mainly about making friends and memories, isn't it?
That's right. Well, that's what I will take from rugby, is I've made friends for life. You know, I won't play rugby again, but, you know, I've made some fantastic friends, and, you know, that's...
That was the first thing that Graham Medway said to me when I went to Cheltenham. The first thing he said was, look around, look at all these boys here, they will be your friends for life.
That's right,
And they have been.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of people have come and gone. I mean, when I look back over the years when I played for Cheltenham, so many girls came and you know, we never saw them again, we didn't know what happened to them. But there was always that core sort of girls that stayed and have remained close, and, you know, even though they've got their own lives and what have you, they're still that sort of camaraderie that you get in a team, you never lose that, that's always there.
That's the big thing about rugby, isn't it?
That's right, absolutely. You know, wouldn't have missed it for the world.
No.
Okay.
Right, okay. 4x4 or sports car?
4x4.
Red or brown?
Red.
North or south?
South.
Bacon or sausage?
Sausage, of course.
What else? Football World Cup or Olympics?
Olympics.
Okay. Would you rather know a lot about a little or a little about a lot?
I think I'd like to know a lot about a little. I like to, have an open mind and know lots of things, yeah.
Okay, you got one go in a time machine. When and where would you go?
I would go to the Napoleonic Wars, because I really admire Napoleon. So, yeah, I'd have to look him up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's, you can go forwards or backwards.
I just found him a very interesting character.
But obviously, the way you said that, it's something you've sort of thought about.
Mm. Well, I've read about, but it'd be interesting.
Okay, would you rather play in a World Cup final for England or one Lions test?
One Lions test, yeah.
Okay. Do you think there should be
another game?
No. Do you think there should be a women's Lions team?
That would be brilliant. Yeah, I think there should be. Why should there not be?
They've got everything else.
Mm, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You've got the England ladies, Ireland ladies, Scotland, and they've got the women's Six Nations.
Yeah, you've got the World Cup. Have...
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so why,
exactly,
so
yeah,
why
of
would
course.
You not have a Lions tour? Yeah, I think that would be amazing.
Well, there you go. You're hearing it here first on the UTS
podcast.
That's
right, yeah. Hopefully it'll happen one day.
Here's another question I'm going to introduce into it. If there was a Royal Rumble type competition and all the players that you played with, including yourself, were in the ring, who would win?
I would.
You'd chuck them all out.
I'd give it my best shot.
If you were a drink, what would you be and why?
Oh, if I was a drink, and what would I be? If I was a drink, I would be... I would be a Prosecco.
Why?
Well, because I'm cheap and bubbly. don't know.
I think that's what Simon said.
Probably. He knows what to buy me.
Which is the best Bond film?
Goldfinger.
I think I agree with that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Apart from obviously Sweet Caroline, what is your karaoke song choice?
It'd probably be something by Dolly Parton, I expect. Stand By Your Man, Blanket on the Ground, anything like that. Or, actually, no, I Tell a Lie. It would be Shirley Bassey. I was only singing it the other day. Shirley Bassey, The Minute You Walked in the Joint, I Could See You Were a Man of Distinction. Can you remember what that's called?
Big Spender.
Big Spender, that's it, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, that's it from me. Do you want to say thank you to anyone?
Oh, just say thanks to the Sarries Rugby Club. You know, you're a great club. We feel we can come down here anytime and, you know, we fit in with everybody. And, you know, they've been good to my boys over the years. I know Dan's going and we're sad about that, but it's got nothing to do with the Sarries why he's going. But he wants to play abroad, and if he wants to play abroad, he's got to play at a higher level. They've told him that, so it's got nothing to do with the Sarries. He'll always be a Sarries lad, you know. And you know, we just think it's a great club, and we just hope they keep going and, you know, working together to keep it going and developing it. Well, and
yeah, hopefully, in 3 years, we'll have the kids will be.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant if you could get a cult side in the future. Do you know what I mean? Just like. Get Sarries out there. You've done so well anyway, you know, sort of. I remember when Sarries was at that club in town, you know, and it was just a shabby little dark club, wasn't it? And, you know, it was...
In the skid alley, wasn't
that's it? Right, absolutely. And, you know, you guys have worked so hard to get it where it is, and you should be very proud of yourselves. It's a brilliant club. Well done.
Awesome.
And thank you very much for asking me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. Awesome.
Cheers, lads. Where's the drinks?
Well, hopefully you all enjoyed this episode just as much as we did. A huge thanks to Susie Bloom for coming on board and joining us, and most importantly for staying awake during that. One story I did forget to mention actually, which I don't think she'll thank me very much for sharing now, but I'm going to anyway because she can't stop me. The first time I ever worked a ladies' night, this is going back to like November 2011, so this is like a good 6 years ago. And I was working behind the bar for the ladies' night where they all had their kind of ladies' social. And Susie ended up falling asleep in her chair. And after about 45 minutes of being asleep, actually woke up and told everyone to turn the television off. And then fell back to sleep, which was just hilarious to see because she was completely out of it. And she has said that, you know, when they fall asleep with the TV on, she'll wake up to tell Simon to turn it off. So I think it's just a natural reaction, but to do it in the club when you're surrounded by like a social setting, just the funniest thing. Oh, she's always good crack. Massive thanks to her for coming on. Another Irish reference. It's all about Ireland and camogie today for some reason. But before we go, we'll take a quick look at what August has in store for the club. Tomorrow afternoon at 2, the club is open for the first ever Cheltenham Saracens RFC beer pong tournament. So if you're a fan of getting blind drunk while playing ridiculous drinking games, I think we definitely recommend that one for you. Pre-season fixtures are not too far away. The first one is at home on Saturday the 19th to Hartridge RFC from Newport in Wales. The Welsh Division 3 East A champions for 2016-2017 season. So if you're a fan of champagne rugby followed by drinking until the early hours, we also fully recommend that one. The second fixture takes place on a Thursday night, Thursday the 24th, away to Old Cryptians in Gloucester. Unfortunately, that is all we know. I have not got a kickoff time for that one. Please check that out on social media. We also don't know what's happening with second and third team games. I think those leagues start slightly later than the senior side, so it might be that those teams have individual friendlies organised nearer at the start of their season. I would recommend, though, going to check it out on social media just to keep up with everything going on as we get to the beginning of the season, and we will share those links with you just before we wrap up the show, actually. Also, the first team cup has been drawn, and as predicted, it kicks off the week before the Gloucester Premier campaign. Sarries have been handed a home draw against Barts Rugby. That takes place on September 2nd. As always, if we've missed anything out or you want to see if there's any events going on in the future up at the Club of Dreams, you can do so online at Chelsarries RFC on Twitter and Facebook, pitchhero.com/clubs/CheltenhamSaracensRFC, or CheltenhamSaracensRugby.com is the official website. If you're a fan of the podcast and maybe you're a first-time listener and you want to hear more, you can do. Head over to soundcloud.com/CheltenhamSaracensRFC. You can search for the UTS podcast on Player FM, which, if you're not a fan of downloading apps, is probably our best recommendation for that, because you don't need to download anything, you don't need to purchase anything. You can listen to it directly from your browser, which is absolutely awesome. We use it a lot as well because the SoundCloud app on my phone especially destroys my battery. So if you want to be able to take it on the go on your mobile device and you don't want to download the SoundCloud app, go check it out, Player FM. You can also find us on iTunes, and don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. And then it comes to you automatically like a little bit of a present every month. That sounds a bit wrong. From us to you, basically. You can also find out more about the podcast, such as us as hosts, maybe our list of guests. If names don't ring a bell, maybe you can recognise a picture. Maybe you want to find out about sponsorships, maybe some of our sponsors or ways to contact us. Go check it out, utspodcast.com. And well, that is the show for this month. Another one down. These months seem to go faster and faster, and it's actually getting scary. A gigantic thank you again to Susie Bloom for joining us on the show. Also, a big thanks to Mark Moxie Collier for the updates on the pups and for co-hosting the interview, of course. Even if we did have to share a microphone, which is unbelievably embarrassing. A, that it happened, and B, that I have to admit to it, because it's not the most professional thing in the world, but I had to give an explanation for that one. Also, a big thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for our brand new musical beds, Proto Funk and Private Eye, which we use royalty-free under the Creative Commons License 3.0. And a huge thanks to you, of course, for listening, wherever you are and whatever you happen to be doing. Please feel free to go back and listen to our previous shows on whatever podcast service that you use. All of our shows are absolutely free of charge, and you can listen to them as many times as you like. So that's it. I think I'm all thanked out, so I guess it's time to wrap this. I've been Dan Lodge for the UTS podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again very soon. Up the Sarries!